The Celtics' first-round playoff opponent, not quite set yet. But if it's Philly, Ben Simmons is hurt. I'll talk about that. Plus, Kemba Walker talks about considering the Knicks. It's a Friday Locked On Celtics. Billy, let's go. Rainy J's back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global but it got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, it's the best way. Melly. Hey there, John Corrales here, Boston Celtics beat reporter for MassLive.com. Thank you for joining the show. It's a Monday through Friday podcast, so thank you, if you're a regular listener, for making this part of your daily routine. If you're new, it's a Monday through Friday podcast, so you'll get it on your device if you subscribe Monday through Friday. I'm going to ask everybody to please buy my book, because I wrote a book. It's called The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars. The best players at each position for the C's. It's the number one new basketball book on Amazon. All of the people who've been pre-ordering, thank you very much. Go ahead, order it right now for delivery in December. It's the number one new basketball book on Amazon. This is the number one Boston Celtics podcast on iTunes. This is the best place to be, right? So here's what we're going to do on today's podcast. Segment three, Kemba Walker was on the R2C2 podcast. It's a new slash old podcast, whatever. It's Ryan Rucco, CC Sabathia. It's now on The Ringer. Kemba was on there for a while. I'm going to talk a little bit about that. He talked about a couple of things, including considering the Knicks. Segment two, Ben Simmons got hurt, and he might be out for the first round. I'll talk about that and what that might mean for Philly, for Boston. But let's start with a couple of news and notes. The Celtics off on Thursday, so not much as far as full news. They just kind of chilled. They did nothing. So the Celtics play the Toronto Raptors Friday tonight, 9 o'clock. There will be no post-game podcast. I'm sorry. I'm moving on Saturday. So I need to go to bed on Friday so I can get up in the morning on Saturday and move. So I'll talk about that game and the Orlando game in the post-game podcast on Monday. But we know that Miami lost to Milwaukee, and so Boston is now up 2.5 games with 4 games to play. Because of the half game, it's a little weird. So the Celtics do have a tiebreaker. So we'll say basically up 3 games with 4 games to play. So any combination of a Celtics win and Miami losses that combines to 2 basically means it's a third seed. And the Celtics are essentially going to be the third seed. It's going to be very difficult for Miami to make up 3 games with 4 games to play. The Celtics play, obviously, Toronto tonight, then Orlando on Sunday, Memphis on Tuesday, Washington on Thursday. You've got to think that there are 2 more wins in there somehow. So, and you've got to think that Miami is going to lose at least once more. So I think the 3 seed is pretty safe. In the meantime, Indy lost to Phoenix. Phoenix is undefeated in the bubble. I don't know what the hell got into the Phoenix Suns, but Phoenix is undefeated in the bubble, and now the Indiana Pacers are just a half game up on the Philadelphia 76ers, which is basically a full game up. Again, this is like Boston being up by 2.5 on Milwaukee. Indy holds the tiebreaker over Philly. So they just, it's a game, whatever. There's no half game in the bubble. Everybody plays the same amount. So it's still possible that the Celtics can play the Indiana Pacers. The remaining 4 games for the Indiana Pacers. Actually, I misspoke because they're up a half game because they played tonight and Philly plays on Friday. So all you need to know is Indy has the tiebreaker. And Indy plays Los Angeles, Miami twice, and Houston. Meanwhile, the Sixers play Orlando, Portland, Phoenix, Toronto, and Houston. So they've got five games left. It's still up in the air. The Celtics could still play the Pacers in the first round. So nothing's decided just yet. What's going to happen with Los Angeles? LeBron was hurt. Anthony Davis left. He's hurt. The Lakers are, they've locked up the number one seed. Maybe they just kind of coast, and that could help the Pacers. Miami, knowing that they're going to be the, well, fourth seed, it doesn't matter if they're the fourth or the fifth seed, maybe they kind of coast. But look, they're only a game and a half up on Philly. There's still a little bit of wiggle room there. So maybe Miami tries hard in at least one of those games. Houston will probably try. The Pacers road is not particularly great. What's Orlando going to be into? Portland's going to try. Phoenix has been awesome, like I said. Toronto's probably going to try. So the remaining Sixers games, not a lock either. Orlando, Portland, Phoenix, Toronto, Houston. I can't handicap that. I don't know what's going to happen. So we're still waiting on who the Celtics opponent is going to be. If that opponent is going to be Philly, then Philly could be without Ben Simmons in the first round. What's that going to mean? I'm going to talk about that in a minute. Hey, start your morning with the news that matters in just 10 minutes. Axios Today host Nyla Boudou and a team of award-winning journalists will bring you the latest analysis and insight into the trends shaping our world. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can even follow us on Spotify. Ben Simmons injured his left knee against the Washington Wizards on Wednesday. It is a subluxation of his left patella, which basically means a dislocation of his left kneecap, a partial dislocation of his left kneecap. It basically, for the layman, the kneecap runs along a couple of grooves and it left one of those grooves. There was no ligament damage, but that's painful and it does cause damage. And depending on the severity, it could be a 4 to 6 week recovery. We don't know exactly yet because the Sixers are going to, but maybe even by the time you listen to this, the Sixers are going to evaluate what's happening and then maybe have a better answer for us as to what happened. But for now, there is a strong possibility that Ben Simmons is going to miss the first round of the playoffs. So what does that mean for Philly? Does Boston want Philly now? Do they not want Philly? It's really hard to say. At the surface, when you lose a player like Ben Simmons, that's bad. Like, that's obvious. There's no analysis there. Losing a player like Ben Simmons is bad. However, Philly is constructed poorly. And the combination of Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, I think it's fair to question the effectiveness of that pairing. And just digging a little bit into the numbers that I, when I wrote this piece for MassLive.com, the best offensive lineup for the Sixers that includes Embiid but not Simmons scores 106.4 points per 100 possessions. Now that lineup is Josh Richardson, Shake Milton, Tobias Harris, Al Horford, and Joel Embiid. If you take Shake Milton off the floor and put Ben Simmons on the floor, then that number, I'm sorry, the original lineup is 127.4 points per 100 possessions. That's with Shake Milton. When you take Milton off and you put Simmons in, it's 106.4 points per 100 possessions. So just to reiterate, Richardson, Milton, Harris, Horford, and Embiid, 127.4 points per 100 possessions. Richardson, Simmons, Harris, Horford, and Embiid, 106.4 per 100 possessions. So a 21-point difference per 100 possessions. The offense works better without Simmons plus Shake Milton. That's just lineup data. Why? And why does this, why would the Celtics maybe want the Indiana Pacers instead? Because when the Celtics are playing the Sixers with Ben Simmons, they can sag off of him completely. They can just completely back off, as we've seen them do before, give him 10 feet of space. It doesn't matter. He's not going to shoot that three. And even if he does, even if he makes one, it's not going to go in often enough for it to matter. But if you put Shake Milton out there, well, Milton can hit the three. Milton hits it at like 45%. You don't leave Shake Milton. And now, is Shake Milton as good as Ben Simmons? No. But Shake Milton does the one thing that Ben Simmons needs to do for that Philly offense to work. That's the problem with Philly. They need a shooter at that position. So Shake Milton is certainly not good enough to, if you say, hey, in a vacuum, I'm going to take Ben Simmons out and put Shake Milton in. That's a bad trade. But within the scope of this Philly offense, Shake Milton in, Ben Simmons out, off the floor, run the offense through Embiid, you're going to score more points because Embiid, first of all, there's intangible stuff here at play that Embiid, knowing that the offense is going to go through him, plays differently. He wants this offense to run through him. I've seen Joel Embiid after a win need a pep talk because it didn't go through him. So I don't think that Joel Embiid is really capable of sharing the spotlight. So with Simmons out, Joel Embiid, I think, raises his game just because he knows that the ball is coming to him. The ball is working through him. So that's an intangible. That's almost, you can't quantify that. Now, Philly defensively loses a bunch without Ben Simmons there. They cannot run in transition because Ben Simmons in transition is elite. And this is why the whole him as the power forward thing, but as a transition point guard thing, I think if given enough time, that could work. In a half court offense, him in the dunker spot as a power forward, that they could figure that out, but him as a power forward getting a rebound and then leading the break in transition, and now your half court point guard Shake Milton becomes a corner three spot up guy with Simmons just attacking people in cross matches. That is elite. That is scary. That is dangerous. That doesn't happen now without Simmons. So defensively, him grabbing a rebound and getting out in transition, that doesn't happen. The Sixers have to be a half-court team. You can't really get out in transition like you could with Simmons. So that really hurts them. Defensively, it really hurts them. Against the Boston Celtics, that really hurts them because now that's one less elite wing defender. You're putting Shake Milton out there. You've got Tatum, Brown, Hayward, Kemba. Simmons can guard Tatum. Simmons can go and switch onto Jaylen Brown. Whoever's hot, Simmons can take that guy. Shake Milton's getting roasted by all of those guys. So what's the trade-off? What's the final answer? That's the part that I don't know. Do you want Philly or do you not want Philly? In some respects, yeah, you totally want Philly now because without Simmons, like I said, who's going to defend these elite wings that Boston has? Who's going to defend these guys? Who's going to be able to switch? who's going to be able to grab a live ball turnover or a rebound and turn that into points on the other end. That hurts Philly a lot. But at the same time, who's going to guard Embiid? Can the Celtics be disciplined enough that could be a case like in 2008, that era when Dwight Howard was at the height of his powers, and I said, look, doesn't matter. Put Kendrick Perkins on Dwight Howard, and it doesn't matter what the results are. Just let Perk bang with Dwight, and if Dwight scores 50, fine. Stay home on the shooters, and it doesn't matter if he scores 50. Hold the other guys to 40, and you're good. That will have to be the approach for the Boston Celtics. The approach with Ben Simmons is to sag, and that will help kind of minimize Joel Embiid. But without Simmons, you just got to single cover Embiid. You've got to stick to your guns there. You have to make sure it doesn't matter if it's Cantor or Tice or Grant or me or you. You just let it happen, and hopefully he gets tired. In the fourth quarter, he starts to settle for threes, that he stops going into the post, and if you stay home on those shooters, you can take advantage of Philly's lack of shooting. What you don't want most offensively without Simmons is for the gravity of Embiid to be so great that you now open things up for Milton and Harris and Horford to get these wide open looks, and suddenly they become hot three-point shooters. Philly doesn't have shooting. Let's keep them from not having shooting. That should be the mantra for any team playing the Sixers. So there are positives, there are negatives. Do the Celtics want Philly now? Maybe, maybe not. But no matter what, if Philly falls and plays the Celtics, if they're without Simmons, I definitely like their chances. I definitely like their chances. Anytime you can remove that element from a matchup, I will take it. And if Indy falls to Boston, I feel good about that. I don't think the TJ Warren magic can last that long. And I think the Celtics can defend TJ Warren. And look, he's a great story. I think Phoenix giving him up for cash considerations is dumb. And it's I'm glad that it's blowing up in their face. But I don't think TJ Warren is going to. I think that pumpkin is coming. You know what I mean? That's going to happen. So I think with this, and obviously you don't want to root for an injury. I hope Ben Simmons is okay. I don't want to make it seem like I'm rooting for this injury, but it's happened. And if he misses the first round of the playoffs, I feel like this makes, regardless of the other stuff, I think ultimately it's a benefit for whomever faces the Philly 76ers in that first round. Coming up, Kemba Walker on a podcast. Not this one, but I'm going to make it part of this one, damn it. And you'll hear him talk about what he was thinking about maybe joining the Knicks.
Follow us on our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram.
Kemba Walker was on the R2C2 podcast, which is on The Ringer. It's Ryan Rucco and CC Sabathia. They've been bouncing around from place to place. They found a new home on The Ringer. And one of their recent podcasts, their new podcast out on Thursday, involved Kemba Walker. And among the highlights of Kemba saying he feels like himself again. So that's good. That's a positive. That's a huge positive. And he expressed his faith in the program to strengthen his knee. And it goes along with what we've been saying all along, that he said, like, he doesn't like it. He doesn't like the fact that he has to go through this, but he understands it and it's working. That's the number one thing. It's working. And because it's working, he feels good about that plan. And so
that's one of maybe the number one takeaway from this. He feels like himself again. And when the Celtics play the Raptors, he's probably going to be at a minutes limit that's somewhere around 30. And that's not far from where he needs to be for the playoffs. Playoffs start in 9 days, 10 days. It's 10 days. So week and a half. Those minutes are going to have to ramp up. The Celtics are being careful. Like I said earlier, it's pretty clear now that they're going to be the third seed. They're locked in for the most part. It would take a real epic collapse for this to change. So there's no need to rush. Kemba's going to play his minutes. He's going to go through his minutes restriction. 30 is pretty close, so he feels good. He says he enjoys playing in the bubble. We knew that. Kemba's a pretty solitary guy. He's kind of cool with being around his guys, his teammates. There's nothing crazy. He says he enjoys the virtual fans, which is cool. I don't think we really looked into that. When we see the virtual fans, we're like, eh, whatever. But you see the video of Jason Tatum looking up at the screen and seeing Deuce watching him in real time. And Kemba looking up and seeing his mom there in real time. And players seeing wives and girlfriends in real time watching them play. You know what? That really means something. There's when you know your loved ones are watching, there's no crowd. There's no juice from the fans and the 18 to 20,000 people cheering for you. But you can get motivation from looking at that screen and seeing your mom watching you or a loved one, your son, your wife, your girlfriend, whomever. There's motivation there. So that's cool. And I'm glad that these guys are enjoying that. I'm glad that Kemba's enjoying that. I think that's an element to this that we didn't really consider. We see things, we're like, oh, come on, virtual fans, blah, whatever. But it means a lot to these guys. So that changes the dynamic for me. Like, I didn't really care about it. But now that I see that, that really is kind of as close as you can replicate a home court advantage, right? Like, Kemba's playing, he looks over there and he sees his mom. And he's playing to say, hey, Ma, here, look, watch me, Ma, watch this. That's motivation. So all you need is that extra little bit of juice. And so I'm glad that this worked out that way. He also talked about the food in the bubble. The first few days were rough, but the NBA listened to the players. And it was funny. CeCe Sabathia said flat out that if this was baseball, they'd still be eating the same food. That the baseball owners don't care. It's really interesting. Considering everything that's happening with the restart and with the MLB restart and with all of the stuff that led up to the MLB restart, the animosity between those players and those owners, it's really interesting to see a former player talk about, like, yeah, all your complaints that the NBA listened to and fixed, MLB wouldn't do that. He's adamant that MLB wouldn't do that. It's really interesting to hear that dynamic from a player from another sport. The NBA, and Kemba acknowledged this, the NBA said, all right, the food's not good enough. Well, we've got a protocol for this. We're going to create, like, you're going to have now different options. These restaurants are, I think a lot of these things were always going to happen. The first few days of quarantine were designed like that. You had to go through that stuff. But they allowed delivery from a certain number of restaurants. And on top of that, another way that the NBA was listening, the first few restaurants that were on the list were Tillman Fertitta's restaurants, like all Fertitta's restaurants. And he's the Houston Rockets owner that's basically going broke because all of his businesses are service businesses and the pandemic has crushed him. But the players were like, we can't just prop up the Phoenix owner. And the NBA added to, as requested by the players, black-owned restaurants in the area. And so that's part of something that they've done. Basically, the NBA has been listening to the players. And Kemba has shown his appreciation for that. I think that's really cool. The league listened to the players voiced a concern, and changes have been made. This is all happening on the fly, but part of what's given us this good product is that players and the league have been working together and we're getting some results. The last thing that I want to talk about is Kemba Walker being asked if the New York Knicks, look, he's a Bronx kid. We know that he's from the Bronx. He wears Bronx proudly. He was asked about, did he consider the Knicks? Here's the entire exchange when it comes to that.
Were the Knicks a serious consideration for you when you were a free agent this past year?
Be honest, yes. Yes, very serious. Very. Mm. No, at one point, yes. Yes, very serious. Before Boston actually came along, the Knicks was one of my top priorities, actually, because I was thinking that they were going to get another player. But it didn't work out.
You made the right choice, dog. I'm going to say it for you. You made the right choice, bro.
Yeah, that's really all I can say, though. The Knicks, they were definitely a priority at one point. Yeah.
Yeah. Did that other player's name rhyme with Slevin Laurent?
Nah.
You know what's crazy though, Ruko? I think the Knicks are like a serious consideration for everybody who becomes a free agent. People want to play in New York. Like, why you think KD and Kyrie went to Brooklyn? You know what I'm saying? Like, right. Guys want to play in New York. It's just hard to play for that organization. You know what I'm saying? And put yourself under that kind of scrutiny. Like, this is a basketball town. The media is going to go crazy. Like, so you sign a big deal and come in. You're supposed to win no matter who else is on the roster. You know what I'm saying? So that makes it tough, man.
Yeah. If Kemba Walker's like, you know, standing next to Kevin Knox and they're like, how come Kemba's not leading him to 50 wins? You know, no offense, Kevin Knox, you might turn into a nice player, but you're not ready for that yet. You know, so yeah. I get wanting a running mate.
I appreciate CC Sabathia's honesty. He played in New York. He gets it. He knows that city. I worked in New York. I was part of the New York media for a while. I get that city a little bit. And he's right that if you play for the Knicks, you don't have much leeway. I really honestly expected Kemba to go to New York. I thought he wanted to go home. I thought he would have loved playing in New York at the Garden. He's talked about how much he loves playing in New York. Again, he's from New York. He's from the Bronx. I thought that would have been a great fit for him. Just personally playing in his hometown. But for him to say, like, I thought they were going to get somebody else and they didn't. So Boston came along and I'm like, yep. And to hear CC say, yeah, that was the right play. That was the right call. You made the right decision. It's interesting. Like, so many things that we think about what's important to a player. Going home, playing in New York, being in the Bronx, all of that stuff. No one loves where they're from more than Kemba Walker. No one loves where they're from more than Kemba Walker. Jason Tatum loves being from St. Louis, and he may love it as much as Kemba Walker loves being from the Bronx, but no one loves being where they're from more than Kemba Walker. And even Kemba said, Knicks, nah, not unless you get somebody else. And that tells you a lot about the New York Knicks. That tells you almost everything you need to know about the New York Knicks. And James Dolan is maybe the worst owner in professional sports. I shouldn't say that because Daniel Snyder exists. So I guess James Dolan will always be second. But at least Washington changed their name. So, but it still doesn't change how, regardless, doesn't matter. James Dolan's one of the worst owners in sports. And he only continues to do what he does because he can. The Knicks print money. And until Knicks fans don't go, and until the MSG Network doesn't print money, it's still going to be the Knicks. So, and that's good for the Celtics because
CeCe's right. Players do want to go to New York. New York's a fun city. But if their team is crap, they'd rather just go to someplace else and play for a winner. That's how it goes now. It's not the 1980s. Social media, everything's opened things up. Markets don't matter quite as much as they used to. They do matter sometimes, but not as much as they used to. And the Knicks don't have, they can't just suck and bring players in no matter what. So enjoy Julius Randle, but that's, you're not going to get the elite players unless you show something, you prove something. Meanwhile, Kemba's in Boston, his knee feels good, and the Celtics hopefully are going to make a deep run into the playoffs. If they do, this podcast still going to be here Monday through Friday. If they don't, still going to be here Monday through Friday. Still going to be dropping this podcast 5 days a week. So subscribe if you're a new listener. Go ahead and give this a follow on Spotify. Wherever you get podcasts, this podcast will exist as well. Regular listeners, please, 5-star rating and a good written review. And everybody, please pre-order my book, The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, The Best Players at Each Position for the Seas. It's the number one new basketball book on Amazon. Thanks for listening. This has been the Locked On Celtics Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.